This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I would be remiss in my duty as host of the Paracast, not to mention the Paracast Plus. Just the other day, somebody on YouTube said, oh my God, they have commercials every 2 minutes. Well, we don't. But, you know, maybe you don't like the ads. Of course, there are ways to get around it if you don't like the ads. You can fast forward or subscribe to Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. We offer a version of the show with better quality audio, higher bit rate, sometimes extra special things thrown in without the network ads. We also give you the After the Paracast podcast. More stuff coming, and you never know what's going to happen with the After the Paracast podcast, because in the past 2 weeks, we simply continued the interview on them. In fact, Sharon will return on After the Paracast this week to continue our show. Plus.theparacast.com. Prices start at just $1.49 per week. Our price, cheap. Remember who said that? Our price, cheap. Sharon, you've studied folklore and stuff, obviously, with UFOs. Do you remember who said that as their motto?
No, I don't.
Mad Magazine.
Yeah, geological formations can be really interesting. We get a lot of things like the face on Mars would be another one. We get looking at fuzzy images from far away, and our mind wants to turn them into something that we recognize.
Yeah, there's this great location in Pasadena where it's called the Devil's Gate, where it looks like the face of the devil is in the profile of the rock. And there's places where the cliff sides look like faces or various things. So we want to see patterns in nature, like we talked about. And oftentimes we make them into interesting faces as well.
My dad was a geologist, so I find some of this quite fascinating. And one of the things he explained to me about one of the claims von Daniken was making and was that it's through a process that was similar to what you described, where there was a softer material that eventually eroded away from, in this case, within a harder material, leaving these smooth, cavernous, sort of rounded shapes inside these very, very large stone blocks. Well, von Daniken was talking about this as being like a launch pad for rocket vehicles, and that these depressions and in the rock were caused by the engines blasting off of the rocket. And my dad just looked at it and went, no, this is exactly what it was about here. This is how that happens. So getting back to the cart track thing, one of the things he suggested it might be, and you might be able to comment on this, is that during the ice age, these mild thick layers of ice would drag things, including giant boulders, over the landscape and create these ruts in pieces of stone like that. Is that conceivable? Sure.
Oh, absolutely. We find these glacial erratics miles away from where they originated because they were carried by a sheet of ice. So it's well-known phenomenon.
So getting back to the scientific then, how can we help people be less scientific and more, not necessarily scientific, because if people go out of being scientific and want to be scientists, then they actually have to go and learn science.
Sure.
But is there any way that the average person who's not a scientist can avoid the traps of, say, the quantum woo, that type of thing? What
Absolutely.
Can we do?
Absolutely. Well, it's not going to be easy, and I've gone through this with just a couple paranormal groups who have volunteered to let me ask some questions. And what I do is I give them some of these questions to take back to their groups and have this discussion. And it's sort of a bit of a soul searching for them. They have to think really about what their goals are and what they're trying to do what are their missions and goals, and what can they actually do that's meaningful? And one of the things I really tried to point out in the book is that I think, and this is not going to be popular with my skeptical friends, is that I think that these groups have a very interesting and important purpose in society. They exist because we need them. People need someone to go to talk about their experiences, and someone who's not going to judge them and maybe can help them a bit. And most of these groups say they want to help people. Well, in order to help people, they don't have to be scientific. They can just sit there and listen. And I've done this with several people who just want to talk, who just want to be validated that they've had a bad experience and get it off their chest and vent a little bit. So realize that that's a good purpose for these groups, to be understanding, but not to invoke upon them some sort of conclusion, because maybe the people don't want the conclusion. Maybe they do. Maybe they want the ghost in their business or in their home. That's because it sounds cool. But most people are just kind of nervous and scared about being in their house when they feel that something's going on. So you can reassure them. But you don't have to go in there with pieces of equipment and blinky lights and say, oh, yes, you got a ghost here. There's ghost energy. What good is that doing? I think it's more misleading than anything. So I think that they need to change their methods and give up this idea of equipment that doesn't work. Does this piece of equipment actually do anything for you? Maybe it measures environmental variables, but you have to interpret those variables. And how do you know what they mean? There's so many things going on outside, and you don't know what could be influencing it. A car driving by could be influencing the result of your equipment, or somebody with a cell phone. So I think that they should think about what kind of data they want to collect, if they just want to talk to the witnesses, if they want to collect some sort of environmental data. They have to be very careful about it, be more careful about it, record carefully, not just your feelings. I feel sick in this room or something doesn't really do any good if you don't do anything with that, or if it's not repeatable. So collect the data well, do something with that data, share it with other people. Have other groups go in independently and see if you can replicate those kinds of experiences or the data collecting. Learn some skepticism, learn some critical thinking, and don't be afraid to put your information out there and have somebody be that third party that takes a look at it independently and objectively and tells you, well, I think you're a little weak here. I think this needs to be fixed, or I need more information on that. You have to accept criticism in order to improve.
But at the end of the day, are these researchers more of a sounding board, a place for people to tell their weird stories? Or is there an ultimate goal there of collecting all this data and then maybe finding some scientists? And we do have scientists who do UFO research and other areas of paranormal research, but finding some real scientists who say, you know what, let's take a look at this stuff. Let's look at all this material. Let's look at this evidence and see if we really can go ahead and find evidence of something really weird going on.
I think you totally can do that. It starts with a good collection of data, methodical collection, spending more than one night at a location. There are some paranormal groups right now that have gone to their local community colleges or universities and found a scientific advisor to help them figure out how to design experiments, how to collect data, and then they go back to a particular location over and over again, and they study the environment, and they collect better data, and they try to figure out, by running experiments, if there's something unique to this area, if there's something that they can identify that may be the cause of these experiences. This is the new way of doing things. They've given up on these blinky light gadgets and pretending to be taps and going into people's houses, because it hasn't panned out very well. So they're looking at new approaches. And I've had at least one group contact me with regards to that. They want to be more scientific, but they need a guide. So they go and they ask for guidance from actual scientists. Now, admittedly, there may not be that many that would volunteer to do that, but there are some. There are some that are interested in this, and it's sort of the whole citizen science movement. There are plenty of people out there willing to gather data, but yet that data feeds back to an individual who can maybe do something with it.
Now, when we look at the UFO field, for example, we trace the modern UFO field from 1947 when Kenneth Arnold had his sighting. Since then, we could probably find other sightings earlier than that, but that's where we trace the beginning. And I'll get into more of this after we do our break with Sharon Randall and Jean, yes, indeed, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, we have a fourth person participating. He's a little white furry thing. Name of Teddy Bear. Most people know him. He's become famous on the Paracast for he has a tenor bark. Anyway, Sharon Hill joins us here. And I was suggesting here, of course, and she agrees that scientists can take a look at the evidence, especially for UFOs. and maybe find directions and find some meaning about them. But we've had the modern UFO era, beginning in 1947. We've had UFO groups come and go. APRA was gone. NICAP is gone. KUFOS is a shadow of its former self, partly because of the fact that Dr. J. Allen Hynek died a number of years back. We've got MUFON struggling to stay relevant and embracing more entertainment elements to do it. Now, with all this, all these years we've had the UFO field, is there ever going to be a point where, other than a few scientists, the scientific community will say, you got enough stuff here, let's go on?
I don't know. Depends on what you got.
That's a really good answer. Actually, the I don't know impresses me more a lot of times than trying to come up with something. And it seems to me that I see that happening on both sides of the fence. But when we get talking with people who are working in the paranormal and they come up with all sorts of theories as to what it might be because it fits what their belief system is rather than just saying, well, I don't know, then that starts to worry me a bit.
Yeah, and it should, because, you know, people say skeptics are closed-minded, and for many, many years, I self-identified as a skeptic. To this day, people still identify me as a skeptic, and they call me closed-minded, but I'm the one who says, I don't know. I'm not saying it's this. It's, you know, spirits of the dead, or it's quantum entanglement, or whatever the latest fad is that they want to talk about and attribute these weird events. But I don't know, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to wait until better evidence comes along. And meanwhile, I'm looking into all sorts of ideas, and I'm still doing research, and I feel like I haven't even touched the beginning of all the things that I could check out and examine and think about. And it's back to the old adage that, you know, if you know a little bit, you know how much you don't know. And that's how I feel. I feel like there's so much I don't know yet. So I'm definitely not going to park myself in one place and say it's definitely this, because where do you go from there?
Have you ever had a paranormal experience yourself?
You know, people always ask me that, and I think it's a strange situation because I don't know if I would ever say it was a paranormal experience. I would say I don't know what happened. Sure, there's been a couple minor things. There's like, I can't explain what just happened there. I don't know what that was all about. And I may never know because I never have enough information to figure it out. So I just let it go.
Well, give us an example.
The latest example, I was recording a podcast. I was doing a podcast called 15 Credibility Street. I'm not doing it anymore. But at the time I was doing it, I'm sitting here in my basement, and I was talking to my co-host. And all of a sudden, it's a very open room, and there's nothing around me. And all of a sudden, at the back of my head, I heard just this big clap right behind my head. There's nothing behind me. There's nobody down here. The wood doesn't ever creak, doesn't ever make a noise like this. There was nothing outside. I have it recorded. You know, it makes you cringe and the hair goes up on the back of your neck. It's like, what was that sound right behind my head? I have no idea what that was. To this day, I don't know what it was.
You got it on the recording, you said.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay. So that then we have we have sound pressure waves.
Yeah, it was weird.
So something had to move the air to cause the diaphragm to move in the microphone. So something was there. Interesting.
Yeah, and there's been cases where when we first installed a fan in my daughter's room when she was little, and it was a remote control fan. And in the middle of the night, the fan and the light would be on full blast. And I said, why did you turn the light and the fan on? I didn't do it. And then one night I was lying in bed and I saw the light go on. And I walked in there and she's sound asleep. She didn't do it. So something was interfering with the light. Now, had I been paranormally inclined, I might have thought it was something spooky. I later did a couple of tests. I noticed that there was problems with our TV remote control, our garage door opener. It apparently, our Wi-Fi in the house, apparently we have a lot of radio interference here. And I think that the radio interference triggered the remote control to turn the light on and the fan to high. Had I been more paranormally inclined, I might have come to a different conclusion. But I kept looking for the right answer. I kept looking for, like, a better answer. So that's why I say I don't know if I would ever say I had a paranormal experience unless it was really dramatic. And I think that those really dramatic things kind of only occur in, you know, Hollywood movies.
Of course, it's also true that somebody could have hacked your system and was playing games with it. A drive-by hacker, that's someone who drives by and they log into Wi-Fi networks and such.
Yeah. I had a very weird situation with the Wi-Fi, and nobody could really explain why it was doing what it was doing, but it was definitely something was interfering.
Well, Wi-Fi, I think, is still imperfect to some degree, even though they've got multiple standards. It's not consistent performance. You can't set your watch by it. It's going to vary because you have so many things going on about you. We are immersed in radio waves.
Yeah.
Remember, Wi-Fi is multiple channels. You've got the portaphones using a radio system. You have the cell phones using multiple channels. Some people believe, and we might even have a guest about that. Randall suggested a guest to me, who has done research and says, you know, if you keep that cell phone on your ear too often, you're going to fry your brain.
Yeah, that's a popular belief. I think it's kind of a Luddite idea that we're scared of technology and technology is going to hurt us. There's been so many studies that show that that sort of radio wave is not, it doesn't ionize, it can't cause cancer, it can't mess with your cells. Other than the fact that it's distracting your attention all the time because you're stuck, your ear is stuck to the phone, which is not a good thing. But the idea of us being bathed in radio waves and electromagnetic frequency, I wish people would realize that more often because they're afraid of it. But it's part of nature. I mean, it happens in nature, and we've always been bathed in these things. The more technology we have, and we're actually living pretty long lives. We're living longer than ever. So I don't think it's a deadly thing to be worried about.
There's still some contradictory evidence to that that would suggest otherwise, but that's probably for another show. On a related issue, though, when one of the things that one of the ghost hunting groups was talking about recently on our show was that they discovered that there was a cell tower about, I think he says something like 18 feet on the other side of the wall of this person's room where they were experiencing this paranormal phenomena or having these paranormal experiences. And they took in their EM meters that read the frequency and amplitude, I'm assuming. I don't know exactly how those work, but they said that it was very high. And they suggested that they move to another house, and they did, and the experiences went away.
We're going to go away for a few minutes right now with Sharon, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
We had a good outcome, but I hope that next week we have a process that people can be proud of.
Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake, after saying he wouldn't vote to confirm Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh unless he found out more about the sex assault accusations against him. The Judiciary Committee asked the White House to make it happen, and the president said yes. The president's decision to go ahead and order the FBI investigation made good on his promise to listen to Republican senators. He said in a statement, "This update must be limited in scope and be completed in 1 week.
I would be happy to cooperate with the FBI, yes.
Democrats have repeatedly demanded an investigation. Ford says Kavanaugh attacked her when they were in high school. Kavanaugh says that never happened. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over 1 million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
In the early days of my radio career, I would work at small and medium-sized stations where the transmitting tower was just, 100 feet away, generating, 500 watts, 1,000 watts, 50,000 watts. I always wondered as I sat there in the studio if that was doing anything to me. Maybe it did. That explains everything. Randall.
Right. These same groups had another situation where they took their measuring meter in and discovered that there was a device that was in the room that was using or causing a lot of this EM frequency pollution, for lack of a better term. And they suggested that they exchange it for another one that didn't do that. And then those people's experiences went away. So are these just coincidence, or is there really something to, we don't necessarily have to have ionizing radiation in order to influence what's happening within people's brains. Persinger proved that much.
Right. There was one researcher, I'm pretty familiar with the idea, that he studied this concept of this haunted bed in a room, and it was in the UK, I believe, where people would report sleeping in this bed, they would have these strange experiences, these apparition-like experiences, feeling of people watching them and very uncomfortable. So he wondered if there was some sort of electromagnetic effect at play. And what he found was that the bed frame was iron. And in some instances, I don't know if it was certain atmospheric conditions or whatever, the bed would generate a strange magnetic field, the bed frame. And it would interfere with people's sleep in their brain because the fields were fluctuating and they were it wasn't the strength of the field that was the problem. It was the fluctuation of the field, the way it was not normal. It was sort of like messing with your brain because it was acting up. The normal field was not there. It was this abnormal field was messing with your brain. And I think that was a very unique situation. People sometimes report they have problems with electronic alarm clocks next to their bed because they also emit these types of waves. Maybe that's interacting with something else, whereas one person might not notice it, another person might notice it because they're maybe a bit more sensitive to it. I think that's a possibility. In the beginning, I said that I think some people have different perceptions of the world. Maybe they have different sensory perceptions. Maybe that comes into play. Some people are just more sensitive to these environmental cues than others, and their brain reacts to it.
I used to recall people living near a radio tower would receive the radio station, which would play in their teeth. I guess they had metallic fillings or something like that. And they'd become a walking radio receiver.
Wasn't that a Gilligan's Island episode?
It was based on reality. In a rare occasion, a TV sitcom might be very, very loosely based on something that really happens. Rare occasion. Ripped from the headlines.
But then a lot of that's just sort of, you know, how much of it is urban myth and coincidence and
right.
and everything else. So determining what is and isn't. Now, one of the things we touched on was the idea of critical thinking. How do you define critical thinking for yourself?
People have struggled with trying to define that, and I don't really have a great explanation. What I do is I try to be objective about it, just break it down, look at the facts, taking apart a claim into its elements, different pieces, and analyzing, does it make sense? So I think when you're talking about critical thinking about claims, you have to try to do that, to pick it apart and say, what are we really trying? What is the claim? Let's get the claim established here. Let's get all the details and let's think about alternative explanations that make sense. Or where are there problems with this? Or where do we need more information? It's very much just delving into the idea and picking it apart more so than maybe thinking analytically about it or mathematically about it or this is irrational, things like that. Just trying to establish exactly what is being claimed, what is being said, and the meaning of each of those things. I don't think kids are taught it in school very well, and I think it's harming our society today. We could see it every day of how we lack critical thinking skills because we just don't think about stuff anymore. We just open our mouths and let people feed us the information.
And then those people turn around and feed that to someone else, and on it goes until all of a sudden we've got a belief system based on no foundation at all.
And fake news, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So having some idea of what we're dealing with to begin with, then it is pretty important. It's stating your objectives, your purpose, knowing what the question is, defining the problem, is getting together your data, your facts, observations, and experiences, and coming to some sort of a theory loosely in terms, like not a theorem or such, but to say, well, it could be this. So at that point, that's when it seems to cross paths with what you were saying earlier. Well, if we're going to investigate something, we need to have some idea of what we think it is we're looking for. So say, for example, in the sciences, if you're looking for, let's just say something like a black hole, we've got this idea of what it means and what it's about and that it could exist. And therefore, let's go looking for it. So there's an example of what, well, we have a preconceived idea of exactly what it is we're looking for. Now we need to find the evidence. So in that particular context, I don't really see a problem with having a preconceived idea about what it is you're looking for.
Right. Okay. So say somebody has a claim that they saw something, some creature in their backyard, some weird thing in their backyard. So the first thing you want to do, if you're going to approach this in a critical thinking way, in a rational way, you're going to try to establish what the claim is, exactly what they say they saw, and then try to figure out if what, if anything, happened here. So first you have to start with, if anything, you know, are these people pulling your leg? Most of the time they had a real experience. They don't know what it was. Get as much information as you can and then go out and see for yourself if you can recreate it, if you could figure out what it could have been, if there's circumstances that leave clues, you could find clues about what could have happened. But if they're adamant that it was a giant ape-like creature, it was the iconic Bigfoot, then what should we expect to find if there really was a biological Bigfoot? And this is a similar question that has been asked for decades. If there really is a Bigfoot out there, we should be seeing remains. We should have fossil evidence. We should be seeing leftovers in the environment, scat. We should be seeing these creatures more often. We should be seeing them on trail cameras. We should find evidence of lots of things, and we're not finding those things. You're trying to test your theory, but there's no evidence out there that really is supportive of that, other than the idea that somebody says they saw a really big, hairy, man-like creature.
Well, then, are we saying that people are imagining this? What might be causing it? What could they mistake it for?
Yeah, that's probably unlimited, the ideas that possibly could be invoked to explain it. And maybe we just don't have enough information. One of the things that skeptics know about and do is we're very aware of how easy it is to fool ourselves and how our perceptions can be mistaken, how our memory is malleable and fallible, that when we recall things later on, that they get changed. And if I could teach anything to young kids, it would probably be the idea that our memory is not like a videotape, and we shouldn't rely on our memory as being infallible. And when people say, "I know what I saw," I'm not sure you really do know what you saw. You're interpreting what you saw, which is a completely different thing.
We've got more to come, and I'm going to ask a question about a current event that relates to memory recall, which most of you know about. With Sharon, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, this is going to be political very slightly. I'm not going to make a judgment. So we have right now someone who's a clinical psychologist with a doctorate who claims to have had suffered from sexual abuse while she was 15 years old. She's in her early 50s now. She testified, as many of you know, before Congress. It was kind of interesting. Offer what happened to her and caused a lot of trauma, and then analyze it as a clinical psychologist as to how the memory stores significant events like a sexual attack, but maybe doesn't record other things around the event. And as you say, human memory can be altered. The people who were asked about the Roswell crash of a possible UFO, they weren't confronted until 30 years later, when they had lived many years with different cultural influences, and they tried to get back there and figure out what really happened. But isn't it also true at law school, they sometimes will stage accidents and then see if the people who are watching in the classroom look at these phony accidents and can really testify in court as to what happened. What are your observations about this, Sharon?
One of my favorite researchers, a woman I really admire and I got to meet and I love her book, is Elizabeth Loftus. And she specializes in memory. And she did a lot of work on eyewitness testimony. And that's the name of the book that I have on my shelf that I consult repeatedly, because I have people telling me that things happen to them. And, you know, if you go and you testify in court, you're an eyewitness, you're giving testimony, you should know the limits of that testimony. And it's fascinating. My favorite experiment of hers that she did long ago, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this, is she created a false memory for people. She told them that when they went to Disneyland or Disney World as youngsters, they saw Bugs Bunny there. Well, we all know that's impossible, because Bugs Bunny wouldn't appear, a Warner Brothers character wouldn't appear on a Disney location.
Of course, we have the Roger Rabbit thing?
Yeah, but this was before that.
Okay, that's where they actually had all the cartoon characters from different companies work together.
Yeah, so it was completely impossible for Bugs Bunny to have appeared at Disneyland, but yet that's what the kids were led to remember. And they were very adamant that it had actually happened, when we know that was impossible. She was able to introduce false memory really, really easily in people in several experiments. And that's a danger. The current situation is tricky. I can't make any comment on it. I have very strong personal feelings about the way women have been treated in society, but I can't really make a judgment on her memory and how truthful it is. But she seemed to have been really cautious about it. You know, coming out in public like that and making that statement must have been extremely difficult for her to do.
Now, when it comes to so-called UFO abductions, and I think a similar thing would be people who claim to have past life memories, where they undergo hypnotic regression. And you wonder here whether the hypnotist is leading them on in each case to fit within the narrative they're trying to sell or believe in.
This was really common during the time of the satanic panic, when kids were accusing their parents and caregivers of taking them into satanic orgies and seeing dead babies and things like that. And lives were ruined because children were misled. Well, they were now adults, you know, they were older children, were misled to think that their fathers abused them when they were little. And those memories became so ingrained, it was as if they were real. But they clearly were an abuse of the power from the psychotherapists who led them, like you said, led them into that memory that was false.
One of the things we need to do, though, as skeptical people, is look at the flip side. In other words, what we're claiming here is that memory is so fallible that human beings are basically, you know, blithering the idiots and can't figure out one thing from another, no matter how good or hard they try, kind of thing. That's sort of the extreme side of what skeptics will do sometimes. And yet when it's convenient for them, they'll say, well, no, humans are these ingenious creatures who have created all of these impressive technological marvels of the modern world. And even primitive people were very smart and certainly could have built the pyramids themselves. So there's this flip side that it seems to me that skeptics will flip from one extreme to the other, depending on whatever suits them. When it comes to memory, if we're trying to be fair about it, what we need to do is kind of look at the alternatives. Until fairly recently, we didn't have a lot of alternatives that were any better than memory, except for maybe carving something in stone. Certainly, if you set it up to fool it, you can do that. So all of these experiments are taking place in situations that are set up to purposely fool the subject into believing something that didn't happen. But when you really look at how accurate the mind and memory can be, it's really amazing. I'm 60 years old now, and I can still remember the way to my original house and my original address when I was a child.
Yeah, I think that we have these memories that are ingrained in our brains forever because we were impressionable at the time. I mean, I still remember words to 70s AM radio songs. It's like, I don't know how I know the words to this. Why do I remember this and I can't remember, you know, the thing that happened to me just a little while ago?
Yeah, but you might also be in a situation where there are still radio stations. There are still TV commercials and radio commercials playing the 60s, 70s, and 80s songs. Because, I don't know, they're adhering to a certain age category, a certain demographic, and they feel if they play a familiar song. She's a Rainbow by the Rolling Stones is very, very common, very commonly used here because of the fact that people will remember that. And then that catches their ear, and they'll look at the commercial, and you hope they'll buy the product. Yeah, you might remember the lyrics of the song, but it may not be because the last time you heard it was on 8 a.m. radio. Right, the TV commercials got it. I remember, for example, Windows 95. And Windows 95's only distinction, other than being the first version of Microsoft Windows that was even usable, is the fact that they use Start Me Up. If you read the lyrics to Start Me Up, you'd be absolutely shocked that they'd accept that. You make a grown man cry? Okay. Sharon Hill, please tell our listeners if they want to know more of the things you do, where do they go?
My website is SharonAHill.com, and that'll point you to all my social media sites and things like that and what I'm up to next. But I do blog there occasionally and anything new that comes up, and also a link to information on the book, Scientifical Americans.
Do you have any other book projects in the wings?
Yeah, I have some ideas. I have to write them up. I've been approached by a publisher to do some more paranormal-themed things, and I'm not sure what to do next, so I'm kind of thinking about it. Not sure.
Maybe we can encourage you or discourage you, depending on your point of view. Randall, tell our listeners, not quickly, but take a couple of seconds, about your UFO organization, how they can get more information.
It's Ufology Society International at ufopages.com. I'm upgrading the site there, too. It's taking some time, but we should have it done by, hopefully, the end of the fall, beginning of winter, something like that. Membership is free, no dues ever, and we try not to be scientifical.
Yay!
All right, let's have a round. No rounds of applause. Okay, that's the thing about web development. It always takes longer than you expect. Our friend Anders is still working on the final tweaks for the new Paracast.com website, the Paracast.com, actually Paracast.com points to it as well, and the new online store with all sorts of interesting branded merchandise that you'll love, the best we've ever done, new artwork and everything. You can also find us on Facebook. If you look for the two official Paracast fan clubs, we are the Paracast on Twitter. If you want to tweet to us, we also have the After the Paracast podcast, which can be an extension of this show or something altogether different. In fact, Sharon will return on After the Paracast this week to continue our show. And it's part of the Paracast Plus package, which includes the ad-free version of this show, free of network ads, all for prices beginning at $1.49 a week. For more information, check out plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We take major credit cards and PayPal now, but in the near future we'll explore other ways of paying for the Paracast Plus. Sharon Hill, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast this week.
Thank you for having me here.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.